One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hello everybody and welcome to your latest edition of Red Men Weekly. My name is Dan Club. I'm here to run you through all the best clips from this week at the Red Men TV, the highs and indeed the lows of it all. We begin with perhaps the high, and it's the Final Word show where Steve Hall, Jay Pearson and Peter Kenny Jones spoke about what was a pretty comfortable and brilliant win away from home against Fulham at Craven Cottage.
Yeah, for as pedestrian as Thursday night was, second half in particular, Sunday afternoon, it was chalk and cheese really with the tempo of Liverpool's play.
Yeah, obviously it's so easy to say, but Trent changes everything, doesn't he? And he comes in and between the two centre-backs, which obviously is different to what we were having. Even in midweek, he was a bit wider, wasn't he? And obviously with Bradley, he was always a lot wider. And there's no McAllister in that hole because Endo was a bit further up, so it changes the whole shape as well. And you say Trent can do whatever he wants with the football, and Quante probably had a little bit more time being just the right centre-back type thing, further over to the right wing because Trent was in the middle. And yeah, I think that really helped us get the tempo going. You know, what can you say about Trent? The pass and everything he was doing was unbelievable, wasn't it? You know, it doesn't matter where you are on the pitch, you know, from Andy Robbo to Diaz, he can pick anyone out on that pitch. And yeah, he was back to his superb best.
Yeah, he was. He was fantastic. We'll talk about him now. Like I say, he could have had an assist for Diaz early on.
Yeah.
The long passing was outrageous. The audacity, I think Jürgen put it best, didn't he? Like, you know, Conor Bradley, we got Conor Bradley and we were like, wow, he's great, but like there's only Trent can do it, like Trent to wear to that effect. And yeah, we'll talk about the free kick in a moment, Jay, but like it felt like we spoke about in games past about like how Trent can run a game from right back. He was kind of running the game from right back or midfield, wherever he wanted to go. It felt like it was just a Trent Alexander-Arnold game and he had it on a string again.
Yeah, he did, mate. And there was quite a contrast to the Palace game because I felt like when he played against Palace and he was doing that, he was trying to force it a bit too much. And
I think already one down, or wasn't
that's
we?
What I mean. There's different circumstances to it. But also, I thought sometimes that when we did have the ball against Palace, being 1-0 down, there was sort of better decisions he could have made. And obviously, you completely reset, you know, you're in 0-0 and all that sort of thing. So it is, you know, different mentality. But yeah, it was just like, that's the play we've missed for a long time. And it was just lovely to see him back doing what he does best.
Yeah, we also had the free kick then, Peter. It's interesting. I think it's worth the context is funny in that Liverpool had done their analysis before the game and they've been told kick it under the wall because Fulham's wall always jumps and they don't have the guy on the floor, whatever you want to call it. So Harvey Elliott just kicks it straight at the lad's legs. Like fucking hell. But Jürgen kind of said, didn't he? In a weird way, that helped Trent because the wall doesn't jump for Trent.
Yeah.
Or very rarely, doesn't even really get off the ground, so it does help Liverpool have done the homework there on Fulham, and they kind of caught them between two different stools there. But still, I mean, it needs putting in, and it's outrageous, really. I mean, you talk about the great Liverpool free kick takers and Trent in the mix already, and there's just another one to put on the show reel.
Yeah, it was. It did feel like that first one. It did feel like we're going to use this for another one. I don't know whether I'm just thinking about that looking back on hindsight, but it did feel like we're going to get another chance here. And as Trent said, there was no doubt he was taking the next one. And thankfully, it came a couple of seconds later and Pellini was as stupid to give us both fouls. But yeah, as you say, he'd put it in and postage stamp, whatever you want to say, it was perfect, wasn't it? And you know that stat that's going around, he's one behind Redknapp and two behind Gerrard, and Gerrard's known as surely one of the best free kick takers we've ever had, and he's only two behind, and how old's Trent now? At 23, 24, so another 10 years at Trent, he'd like to think he's going to absolutely smash that record as well. And yeah, it just felt like it was going in, didn't it? Maybe you think that every time, but you could see that space. It always looks easier on the telly and looks easier when you're watching it, but you could see that space for him to hit, and by God, did he hit it.
Sometimes, Jay, you can tell before a free kick, that looks like a goal. Like, I don't know if it was Leno's positioning, their wall wasn't the biggest wall I've ever seen. Like, they were like giant grocks in it, like other teams sometimes have. And I think if you ask Trent, where do you want a free kick from, he'd place the ball exactly where it was. There's enough time to get up and down and the bend and everything about it. It's almost like a pen where you're half expecting he's going to get this on target, and it's probably going to be. It just felt like that as he was lining it up. I don't know if you felt the same.
No, because the longer someone takes to set up a free kick, I go sit in the wall, so it's going straight over. But I'm a miserable bastard sometimes, mate. So no, I didn't.
That's fair enough.
I felt like that anyway. I'm glad I should have watched it with you. Just the way my brain just working at me with this, you just think, right,
glass half empty.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Because I think I always think like we're on our way to something here. I thought it was really special in a few weeks. It's just been pissed on. But no, I was definitely not in that camp of yet. It's going in this. But do you know what? I thought if he has a couple. That's all he needs is a couple to have a go, and he'll bang one in eventually. But mate, it doesn't matter who scores a free kick these days. Whenever you see one of them go in, we're all in our 30s and stuff like that. You just think they always look good.
Peter's not that old.
I'm 29, thanks.
You're nearly there.
And you look it, to be fair.
Nice.
You wear slippers. But the point remains
is, doesn't matter how old you are and how many you've seen, I'll start that again, you always enjoy them going
oh
in.
They're amazing.
They're always boss to see.
You're I love as well. I love when the guy knows it's in before anyone else knows it's in. Sent off.
He's
on his way to the corner. Like he knew after. As soon as he hit that, like, he just knew that straight away he'd score the goal.
Yeah.
And that's how you can tell he's...
And again, whether you're a professional footballer or you play five-a-side, when you hit a ball and you've caught it sweet, you know, don't you? Mm-hmm. And fair play. Yeah,
absolutely brilliant. And I think it was actually just rewards. Pete Philippou started the game. Now, again, it was no open play goal, and we're still talking about that at this point in time. But Liverpool deserve to be one up. Like, you know, for all the slow starts they've had this season, and it's what, 20-odd games, 21 games in it when they've conceded the first goal, it felt like they were in charge of this game and they got the goal that they deserved, because that hasn't always been the case. Yeah. Liverpool don't always score when they're on top in games, and countless times we've seen that already in the last couple of weeks. It felt like, yeah, Liverpool are on top and they've got the goal that they deserve as well, just to calm everyone down a little bit.
Yeah, I think I was still a bit hungover from the fact that we haven't scored an open play goal. I was thinking straight after that was amazing. I was like, oh, we still haven't done it, we still haven't broke that duck or whatever. But yeah, when you see a goal that special, it obviously picks everyone up. And I think you see all the celebrations as well, like everyone looked just so genuinely happy for him, because obviously it's been a tough period for Trent. He got rushed back in because of Conor Bradley's family bereavement, and that probably knocked him back a few weeks, and he's probably got rushed back again because Bradley got injured. So as much as he's been out, he's also been rushed back twice. So it must have been a hard period for him, especially that Atalanta game when he was so pivotal in how we were playing, and then he just ran out of gas and had to come off. So for him to be back in the team, wearing his new boots, putting free kicks in top corners, you know, it must have felt great for him. I mean, the way all the players celebrated with him in that corner, I think he just showed the togetherness when this is a period when they really need to be together, and they certainly are.
I suppose if the celebration to me, Jay, like when you're playing FIFA and you can press different buttons and do different celebrations, because he shrugs, then he shushes, then he does the little and then he drinks a cup of tea, and then he's shaking hands with everyone. It was about 16 different tends to be waiting for ages to score a goal. He hasn't scored since Fulham last time.
Yeah.
And it's like he saved all the celebrations and he just threw them all out at once. Have a cup of tea, have a shush, have an A, have a shake, I'm having all of these things.
I wonder what they all meant. He needs to come out at some point and tell us. As far as he didn't take his boots off and wave in front of the camera, tell you what, they'll have been Adidas online and be like, Jesus Christ, these are selling out now, aren't they, because of that free kick.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule.
it's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Yeah, that was most definitely the high of the week. It wasn't all downhill from there, but it wasn't particularly brilliant either, I think it's fair to say. In the middle of the week, we found out that Ruben Amorim was no longer the leading contender to replace Jurgen Klopp as manager of the Reds. It is, in fact, Arne Slot, currently in place at Feyenoord. And Stehove and Jay Pearson got back together to react to that news.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Red Men TV. It's a Red Men React. Yes, I'm Stehove. Delighted to be joined virtually by Jay Pearson. Peek behind the curtain. The studio's getting used for deep dive. Josh and Dan are in there as we speak, but we wanted to bring a Red Men React to the news that it looks like Arne, I don't even know how to say his name, is going, he is a front runner, apparently, in the candidacy to become the next Liverpool manager. Jay, I think the most important thing to talk about straight away is that we might have a bald manager, mate. So what better way than to discuss it than us two? You know what I mean? Like, it's representing us. It feels like a much needed development in this race that he's got nowhere.
Well, I think it's the trend now, isn't it, to have a bald manager? You know, Ten Hag is, Pep is, you know, bald's in. It's 2024, Steve, you know what I mean? It's up the baldies.
It is, I think, it's crossed. I mean, there's mixed success in between those two. Yeah, so just to clarify, obviously, for those who don't know, you might not have been around listening to news, Paul Joyce originally tweeted that Liverpool are interested in Slot becoming their next manager. That since then, pretty much all the journalists on the Liverpool beat have reported as such, that such as it, Andy Hunter in The Guardian writes, Liverpool are interested in appointing Feyenoord's Arne Slot as their new manager this summer. He has emerged as a strong candidate to succeed Jurgen Klopp in the recruitment process, which is being led by Michael Edwards and incoming sporting director Richard Hughes. It's interesting, Jay, because yesterday we heard that Ruben Amorim was almost out of the race, and connecting dots or following breadcrumbs, maybe the Amorim camp got wind of this as well, because less than 24 hours later, and here we go, it looks like, I mean, it might change, and Liverpool, I think, have been quick to say he's not the only candidate, but given this news coming out and where it's coming from and all the places, it feels like he is now the big favourite to replace Jurgen Klopp.
Yeah, it certainly does, mate. I mean, ever since Klopp announced he was leaving, there's been so many rumours about so many different managers. And it's only recently that Arne Slot has been sort of in the mix a little bit more. So like you said, over the last couple of days. And I think when you've got certain people that are reporting it, you sort of think, well, this may be the one now. So yeah, I mean, whichever way you look at it, mate, anyone is going to be a tough act to follow Jurgen Klopp, and it's going to be difficult for anybody. We'll just have to wait and see if it is him first. And I don't know if you can get too excited by it, because we're excited by Alonso and that hasn't happened. Then we've turned our attention to Amorim, and that's now looked like it's dead in the water. So you just don't know, mate, do you?
I guess that this feels, though, Jay, it feels a bit more significant in that.
Yeah.
The noise around those two, like Liverpool are interested, they're on the maybe, maybe not. This does feel like, you know, he's the front runner. The fact that Paul Joyce, Melissa Reddy.
That's it.
James, I think usually it's something.
They've been briefed.
Exactly. Yeah. It's coming from a good source, you would think. On him, for those who don't know, 45 years old, is Arne Slot. Obviously, used to be a player. Took over at AZ Alkmaar as a manager in 2019. Joined Feyenoord in 2021. Won the Eredivisie in 2023. Last week, they just won the Dutch Cup as well. Got to the Europa Conference League final, didn't they? They won us up there in 2020. I think it was the inaugural one of those. So it feels, Jay, and it's interesting, because I was trying to think, why would it be Arne Slot and maybe not an Amorim who looks like it's been ruled out? The only thing I could think of is potentially, if you look at how Feyenoord play, the system is very much 4-3-3 or slash 4-2-3-1 almost, whereas someone like an Amorim plays three at the back. It feels like Liverpool's squad is probably, as it stands, is probably more suited to someone like Arne Slot to come in with a back four, with a three up front. It feels like maybe that's one of the reasons that they're going down this route.
Yeah, I agree with that. And you get a lot of managerial changes at a lot of clubs over the years. And what they tend to do is they change the manager, then he brings his own tactics. And then all of a sudden, players that have been used to a certain formation, a certain style of play for years, have then got to switch. And sometimes that is a really bad thing, because then you're changing your job completely then, and you've got to go a different way. And sometimes results don't come. Whereas this way, you're sort of like not papering over a crack. You're sort of like, it's an easier bridge to cross, if you like. You know, you're not sort of going up and down. It's a straight shot over the bridge, because the tactics and the formations are quite similar. And, you know, he's not got the longest pedigree of a managerial, appointment, but, you know, the stuff he's done in a couple of years has been great. You know, according to some things I've read already, he averages just over 2 points per game, which again, you know, you happily take that, don't you, in this way of the world now. So, I mean, it's one of the things you get excited about. You've got to, in a way. But if this is the man, then, you know, I do trust the judgment of a lot of the people upstairs, especially who we've brought in now, to make the right decision. And if it's the right decision, then yeah, from a tactic perspective, mate, I think the players are going to be really comfortable with him.
Yeah, I suppose as well, Jay. Like, he nearly joined Spurs while he was on the shortlist.
Yeah.
He was offered a job and he turned it down for different reasons. Now, according to, I just saw Chris Bascom's report there, like, Barcelona and Bayern Munich were also interested in him. So the biggest clubs in Europe, obviously Liverpool, you can all include that, have got this guy on their shortlist. So he's obviously doing something right, you know. And I understand Tottenham's a level below, but he, like, Spurs wants them, and then Barca, Liverpool, Bayern Munich. He's obviously doing something that people are interested in, which, with all due respect, you know, there was talk of, you know, Gary O'Neill, there was talk of various other people, and it was a bit like, Barcelona wouldn't want them, Bayern Munich wouldn't want those guys. With all due respect to them, Thomas Frank was another one. It feels like, you know, this guy is probably high on a lot of teams' list, which again could give us a bit of confidence, or should give us maybe a bit of confidence.
It absolutely should, mate. There's been plenty of managers over the years that have been snapped up early on in their managerial careers, and they've gone on to have really good managerial careers. And some clubs go, oh, we should have got him when we got him, or when we had the opportunity to get him, we should have got him then. So, you know, this could be one of those opportunities. I mean, I'm not going to liken it to Brendan Rodgers, because I don't want to, but, you know, sometimes someone has to give somebody an opportunity, and this could be it. You know, there is, again, reports over the last 48 hours I've read that, you know, he's likened to Pep Guardiola in the way he does his business, the way he organises his teams and stuff like that. So again, it's one of the things that we just have to get excited for, mate. It's a completely new chapter, and this guy, you know, he could come in and just be like, I'm the business, hopefully.
Fingers crossed. I was reading Melissa Reddy's report here, Jane. She said, you know, Arne Slot drills his team to be adept at turning defensive actions into shooting opportunities. They topped the Eredivisie for tackles won in the opposition's final third. They have the best defence in the league and the second best offensive metrics. That does feel like, because usually, Jay, when a team is changing their manager, it's because the last guy's done a bad job and he's been sacked. Right. And they want somebody to change, blow it all up and start again. So that's how Tottenham end up going from, you know, say, and then all of a sudden they've had Mourinho's, and then they've possibly, it's flipped around. Look at Chelsea, different player managers all the time. Liverpool want someone to continue kind of what Jürgen Klopp's done, obviously, bring their own spin on it. If you look at counter-pressing, like, obviously you look there about a strong defensive record, a similar formation, you can see it looks like Michael Edwards and the team have done what's been described by Paul Joyce as an extensive data-driven research. You can see why this guy comes out on top, because if they're looking at almost someone to carry on, pass the baton to and just make tweaks here and there, actually the way Slot sets his teams up and the track record is quite similar to what Jürgen Klopp's done at Liverpool.
Certainly is, mate. And, you know, people go on about research and statistics, how it doesn't do its job. It absolutely does. Look at Mo Salah and Julian Brandt. You know, those were the two options that we had, and we went for Salah based on the stats and stuff like that. And it works. You know, the Michael Edwards and his team do a good job. And that's the thing that I think everyone's got to take into account. You listed just a lot of his achievements and, you know, the best defence and all that sort of stuff. If you listed those without putting his name above it, all of a sudden that just looks a lot more appealing, because, you know, people get attached to names and they want certain people to be your manager and stuff. Yes, this guy isn't a household name in the world of football, but he might be at some point, you know, giving him this next step now, giving this level. And like I said, those things that you've just listed there, mate, I want that for my football team. And let's not forget, this Liverpool isn't broken. You know, Klopp's just leaving. You know, we've not got a broken team. Yeah, the results are up and down at this point right now. But on the whole, the team isn't broken. It's in good shape, really, barring injuries. And like you said, just need just to take it to that next level, or just keep it going as it is. And like you said, those list of things you put, mate, sign me up for all those.
Yeah, it was interesting. I'm reading Paul Joyce's comments. He said, like, Feyenoord are meant to have a press conference. Then they've cancelled their own press conference, which makes maybe
does
like, you're just putting yeah. things together, aren't you? Liverpool have been keen to say that you know other candidates are still being considered. Of course they are, because this manager last year was very close to joining the Premier League team and turned it down. So they've got to continue going down the road. But it feels like, Jane, again, correct me if I'm. This might just be my feeling. It looks like it's Arne Slot's job now to make it, you know, like £9 million or so. Feyenoord is that's what they know in. I think Liverpool will be comfortable doing that.
Yeah.
He's the best man. It does feel at this moment, doesn't it, that it's probably like the only reason he won't get it is because he doesn't want it. If he doesn't want it,
absolutely, we might get into a Xabi Alonso situation where he was the number one target and then he didn't want to do it for his personal reason. That's absolutely fine. I don't take no offense to any manager making the right decision for himself, because we all do it in walks of life anyway. So, but yeah, it is looking like nailed on. Like this is going to be the man. And do you know what, mate? Jota the Slotter, Arne Slot, I think it fits very, very nicely.
I suppose as well, Jay, like, the pool, I think, who you're picking from at this moment in time across Europe, if you're looking at managers, like the best managers, Pep Guardiola, Carlo Ancelotti, Jürgen Klopp's one of those. Yeah. There are very few. Like last time the pool had a selection, Ancelotti was available, Jürgen Klopp, you know, Bundesliga winner was there, he was available, he wasn't in a job. It's hard to think of any suitable managers, really, you can see as Liverpool managers who are available. It's like the ones who haven't got a job who have been successful relatively recently, maybe Hansi Flick, maybe he might be the most likely, but then like a Zidane or a Mourinho, they don't really tend to suit the ethos of Liverpool. I think, you know, not speaking English would be huge, for example, for Zidane. Mourinho, that's just never going to happen. I think that's an absolute non-starter. It does look like you're almost going to the... You can't go and find someone who's won Champions Leagues or Europe, because they're not really available, but they've looked at the data and gone, this guy has won a league, he's won a cup, I like the way he plays, I like all this, and he's emerged. And I think, Jay, if we, like you said before, if we trust Michael Edwards to be the genius that everyone thinks he is, and this is the man he wants, I can kind of understand why. I think we all should probably get behind that.
I think so. And one of the things that we're really good at as a fan base is getting behind anybody who steps out on that pitch or steps in that dugout. We do get behind new managers, you know. Give Brendan Rodgers will be a testament to that. Roy Hodgson will be a testament to that, you know, when he was first appointed. We do get behind a manager, and I think everyone will get behind this guy, you know. But it's all about what he says in those first instances, you know. What's he going to say in that first press conference? Klopp had us in the palm of his hands immediately. So he's got my full support, mate. Anybody who wants to take this job, then you've got my full support at the end of the day. And but you do make a good point, is there's not that caliber of manager up there on that very, very top level that's going to come for those reasons. And what I mean by that is, like you said, the Zidanes and the Mourinhos of this world, they're not there at the minute. So you've got to sort of look for the next emerging talent. And to be fair, I think that's where we're at in this world of football at the minute, where, you know, there's a lot more focus on managers, and some people are getting jobs earlier than they should do, and it's a bit above their station, and they get caught out, and then their reputation falls down, which is an absolute shame. You know, Alonso's doing the right thing. He's built himself up, and he's not just jumped for the first massive job, no disrespect to Leverkusen, but he's done the right thing there, though, by saying, no, it's not the right time for me to do that. And I respect that. And if Arne Slot thinks this is the right opportunity for him, then he'll take it. Of course he will. Like you said, won the league, won the cup. He'd been to a European final with him, so he's got some experience. His statistics say a lot of things about his teams, and he plays football very similar to the way we play football. So at the minute, you can't say it won't be a bad appointment.
Oh, you're going to break into song then, mate. They've won the league, they've won the cup. I thought you were about to sing.
Beat Europe too.
Yeah, been a scouser, Tommy. To round up, what I like the fact that he turned Tottenham down last year, because he's obviously a man who considers his future. Like, it would have been easy to take the money.
Yeah.
You've won a league at Feyenoord, go and go to Tottenham, go and get in the Premier League, go and earn the big bucks. But it feels like he's a man who considers these things very, very, you know, seriously. You look at someone you mentioned before, like Alonso chose the same pathway, someone like a Graham Potter, right, there's Chelsea, I'll go and do it. And it didn't work out for him. Like, that might not be his fault, it might just be Chelsea,
no,
basket case club. But I do like the fact that this isn't the first time he's been, it's like he's just jumping at a move. He's clearly a man who's an ambitious manager. He wants to manage at the very, very top level. And that's where Liverpool are now. Liverpool are fighting for Premier League. They want to be back fighting for the Champions League next year.
Yeah,
it feels like I like the ambition of the man, that he didn't just jump ship when Tottenham came calling.
Absolutely. And he backs himself as well. You know, whoever steps into Klopp's shoes is going to have big shoes to fill, from, you know, getting the City perspective and getting the fan base and all that type of stuff. what manager doesn't want to step into, oh my God, look at this club. It's ran brilliantly. You know, whether you've got that opinion or not, people can look and go, the club is ran really, really well. And you've got a team that's ready to fight on all four fronts again every year. You know, a few tweaks here and there, but what an opportunity for you to step into. And like you said, mate, he backs himself and he's looks like he's choosing the right opportunity at the right time, which again, says everything about his character, which when he's with his team selections and making decisions, you can't say further than that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just reading here from Fabrizio Romano's tweet as well. Liverpool have had direct contact with Arne Slot. Direct contact took place with the final manager, and there's more scheduled. He's on the shortlist. It does feel like Jay looks like he is the chosen one, and I think it's about as the stature of the manager. I would have liked Alonso once that was off the table. It was you're looking at the next big things and almost Amarins and Slots and things like that. If the data goes, I think this. I mean, I don't want to speak for the fan base, but I think this one might be more accepted than somebody like a Premier League manager coming in, for example. I think everyone wanted Alonso. I think everyone maybe had the heart set on Amarin, but that was apparently footballing reasons, which I can only presume, like I say, is the style of play.
Yeah.
How do you think, and again, I don't like speaking for other people, do you think this is one where the fan base aren't kind of going to throw their toys out the pram too much? Because it's hard to replace Jürgen Klopp, and if it was a Gary O'Neill, for example, a Thomas Frank, even maybe a De Zerbi, I don't know. I could have seen that going different. Maybe, do you think that he might...
Yeah, I mean, you make a good point, mate. And I think like you can throw Thomas Tuchel in there as well. Thomas Tuchel's got a different type of reputation. Who depends on who you speak to, obviously. He's not won the league at Bayern this year. Sorry, bud. He's not won the league at Bayern this year. And then all of a sudden... you know, he's a crap manager because he got sacked from Chelsea, but you know he won trophies there and stuff, and it's all about the excitement. I think we're all in on Alonso basically because it was Xabi Alonso at the end of the day, and I think that was we were all the love factor and all that type of thing, and you just move on to the next one, and we went all in on Almiron, didn't we? And it was like, well, now that's not happening, and you think I don't blame anybody for that. I just think you get the right person at the right time, and I don't know how the fan base are going to react to it. I've seen a little bit now where it's like, well, I don't really know him, so he must be crap, which is the wrong attitude to have. At the end of the day, if you don't watch the Dutch League, you don't watch the Dutch League. I don't watch the Dutch League. I didn't even hear of him until his name was thrown in the hat a couple of days ago. So I'm not going to claim I know everything about him. It's just the last 48 hours of a bit of research and seeing actually, all right, yeah. So the right man will be appointed at the right time, and we've got to trust the process the same way we've trusted the process with Jurgen Klopp, and we've had a very successful 8 years, 8-9 years under Jurgen Klopp. So I don't want to speak for the fan base, mate. Some will be happy, some won't be, but that's just the same with any decision this football club makes. Some are happy, some aren't.
Absolutely. Yeah. Jay, thanks so much for joining on, jumping on, rather. It was a quick turnaround, but we had to react to the news. So yeah, of course, guys, stick around on Redmen. There'll be loads more on the manager search. I'm sure if it is going to be slot, we'll have loads. There's literally a deep dive being recorded now all about them. So we've got you covered. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. You guys are the best. And yeah, we'll catch you all next time. See you in a bit.
Yeah, I think it took us all by surprise. We were all in a world living in expecting it to be Ruben Amorim. But no, Arne Slot looks to be the man. And early reports are that he looks like he might be a good choice, to be honest with you. A lot of positive reports, a lot of positivity coming from players he's worked with and friends of his and former colleagues and stuff like that. So yeah, it remains to be seen just how successful, if he is indeed the man to replace Klopp. Finally, we have to do it. We spoke about Everton 2, Liverpool 0 from Goodison Park. Myself, John Machin and Ian Young got together to pick over the bones of that particularly devastating result. Three talking points, really, and it's all centred around the similar sort of topic. And unfortunately, it's been a topic for quite some time now, it's felt like, certainly since the last international break. Chances and wastefulness in front of goal. We'll begin with Darwin Nunez's chance. And I think the problem of last night, and we've just kind of touched upon it with the goal we conceded, of course, and it was kind of both boxes, both final thirds, if you like, pouring one and pouring the other. In the middle, sometimes it was decent, as much as we can, you know, talk about the midfield in the greater depth, and it wasn't always at it. It lost a lot of battles, 100%. But in terms of football, it was nice at times. And some of the build-up play was really nice. And the build-up play for this Darwin Nunez chance is really nice. But John, I'll come to you on it. Like, a lot of people are talking Darwin Nunez, not just in the aftermath of last night, but recent weeks as well. I mean, I've written it in the agenda here. He has to score that for me. The lack of composure he shows, it's just, he sees the white of the goalpost and thinks, hard as I can, let's see what happens. You need to be a bit better than that.
Yeah, his go-to position these days seems to be hit it as hard as you can, and it should go in. And of course, 9 times out of 10, it doesn't, because you need a bit more subtlety than that. I mean, it's very difficult not to come to the conclusion that the guy will never score a lot of goals. I mean, he's had 2 seasons now with everyone saying, oh, he'll come good, but he's not coming good. He's missing far too many chances. I mean, last year and the year before, people were moaning that Bobby Firmino wasn't scoring goals. But in a situation like that, that would have been in the net from Bobby Firmino, because he wouldn't have missed. You know, Mane wouldn't have missed. And unfortunately, he's going to score maybe a dozen goals a season on a regular basis, and that's not really good enough, unless you've got a 30-goal-a-season guy next to him. And Mo Salah at the moment isn't a 30-goal-a-man, is he, either?
You know, no, that's it. You do need someone to compensate for if he isn't going to be putting the numbers you just mentioned there, absolutely. Yeah, and I think Diaz falls into a similar category. I want to talk about him more in a moment. But the thing is as well, if you are getting sort of 12 to 15 within that sort of region, like Bobby Firmino often did, but we all know what Bobby Firmino brought to the party as well. And Darwin Nunez, as good as he has been this season in times in certain games, I think his all-round game has definitely improved. Not right now, it doesn't feel like we're getting much else from him either. But Bobby Firmino was just the orchestrator of everything that went on around him. Darwin Nunez isn't that guy, so his numbers have to be better.
You'd have to say, if you think about his contribution to last night's game, I can't think of
it. Well, it was non-existent, essentially. Yeah. It was. And the one big moment he has, Ian, he gets it all wrong. I mean, gets it all wrong might be a tiny bit harsh, but again, I'll come back to it. You have to score that. You can't... People say, oh, Pickford's done well. He hasn't. He's smashed it straight at him. Pickford shouldn't have a chance of saving that, but Darwin Nunez gives him every possible chance.
Well, I defended him last night when he missed it, and the more I see it, I'm like, I'm not sure what he's trying to do. I was like, is he trying to put it through his legs there? I defend Darwin Nunez all the time, because he does offer more in general, game-wise, or right throughout the game, but I think since the international break, he's had no effect on the game either. So if he's not scoring goals, he's not affecting the game, then it makes it really, really difficult to defend
him. What are you defending him?
Like I said, most of the season he's been very good with the way he's affected the game. But I just think the whole team, Darwin included, is in a really bad place confidence-wise. It just seems like the snatching of chances, the final ball seems rushed. The taking too long on the ball, the confidence just seems shot out a lot of them.
Yeah, it does. And again, that was definitely evident last night. Decision making in the final third was left wanting too often, and the execution of the decision was sometimes awry as well. Next chance falls to Luis Diaz. I don't want to spend too long dwelling on that one because I think it's a bit more difficult. Listen, he probably should score, if truth be told. Certainly like him to score, but it's harder than the Nunes on the football in the round. That was really nice, actually. Playing head tennis, essentially 1-2 head tennis. It was a joy to watch until Diaz's finish was left wanting a little bit. We're going to do a big bit on Diaz later because I think it's worthwhile doing. You said it there, Ian, snatching at chances. That takes me nicely onto Mohamed Salah, who has 2 in quick succession, John, and this actually stems from a really poor Darwin Nunez touch, actually. It's a lovely ball into his feet, I think it's from Trent. Nunez gets the touch all wrong, but with Salah, again, it's similar to Nunez's conversation, like his all-round game is miles off it at the moment, and neither of these chances are as big as the Nunez one. They're not gilt-edged, but he makes a real mess of both. He snatches at the first one, it's a horrible shank, and then he blazes well over, and that's indicative of where Mohamed Salah is right now.
Yeah, I mean, the first one, it would have hit the corner flag if there hadn't been players in the way, and the next one, he's leaning back and it goes way over, doesn't it? It's not really Mo Salah-esque at all, is it? And he's very much in that what you said before about snatching at chances. He's snatching at a lot of things. And even his go-to attempts to the far corner just don't seem to happen anymore. He's going through a very rough... He has, actually, since he came back from the African Cup of Nations, hasn't he? He got the injury. He's never been quite the same since. And it may well be that he wouldn't be until next season anyway now. He doesn't look as though he's going to get back that sharpness at all.
Salah has that chance as well that comes across, and he chooses to put it across the goal to pass it, whereas normally he put his foot right through and it'd gone in the corner.
Yeah, and then we'd have moaned at him, though, wouldn't we, for trying.
That was good defending, that Ben Godfrey was. The reason I haven't really highlighted that one is because I think Salah might do the right thing. I think he genuinely makes the right decision there because it's Jones and Darwin Nunez converging on that.
And he does, but normally Mo Salah wouldn't do that.
More selfish.
Normally
he'd
go in the corner.
Listen, your thought process might be right in terms of Salah's thought process, absolutely, but I actually think he might have done the right option.
Made
there.
Me think we were going to murder them.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah. Because again,
well, yeah, we're
playing. It seemed easy, didn't it?
Really easy, and the football was really nice. It was fast paced. It was with purpose. So yeah, I make you right, and there was definitely that element to it. But it was that final. But again, I do credit Ben Godfrey with really actually quite impressive defending there. Just on Salah more generally, and like John's just said it there, he hasn't been at it since the AFCON, essentially since the injury as well. I think. It's an interesting conversation, really, and as listeners, a much wider conversation to have around Mo Salah and his future. Yeah. But just in terms of his performance now, I mentioned this briefly to Chris this morning. Like, we are seeing a very similar level of performance that we've seen all season from Mo Salah in many ways. We've all kind of said jovially at times because we've been able to laugh at Salah's lack of quality displays because he's walked away with two goals and assists half the time. However, right now we're seeing a very similar all-round game, but without the same level of output. Is that the way you see it?
Yeah, it's sad really watching him. He looks like a shadow of the player we've had the past few years. I don't know whether it's a confidence thing. I don't know how this injury's affected him. When you've
but
got
he's never been injured before
exactly. So it could be a mentality thing with him. He's, when you go that long without a big injury and then all of a sudden you've got one, who knows what that does to a footballer.
Certainly a hamstring one, sorry, yeah. With a player like Salah who relies, listen, he's not as quick as he was, and maybe that's an age thing or father time, or maybe it is the injury that sort of slowed him down a bit. But when you are so reliant on that quick burst of what you do, and you do a hamstring, that's got to be on
he's
your mind.
He's unsure of himself, isn't he? Yeah. He's going to go, if I go for the burst of pace, is it going to go again?
And he came back at Brentford and he was out again, so maybe he came back too soon once, so who knows, that could be a factor. I think you're right, but again, I come back to it, I think all season by and large his actual all-round game's been just slightly off it, but again he walked away with a couple of goals and assists, and we all go, oh, well, isn't that funny,
his goal rate was way up there, he was still way up the top of the goal scoring charts, wasn't he, come New Year when he left.
But then when that stops, and then, this is what it looks like.
I think when he was scoring goals as well, there was a good connection between him and Darwin Nunes early in the scene. There was a bit of a partnership. But now the both of them are not at the races. That's not going to be there, so they're not helping each other out at all.
No, they're definitely, they look to be sort of a real sort of telepathic understanding between the two of them, but as you say, neither of them are full of confidence right now, quite the opposite to be fair, and it's not pretty watching. Yeah, there that was. Not a good night at the office for the Reds, unfortunately. And the ramifications stretch beyond just losing Jurgen Klopp's final Merseyside derby. It could well be title dreams over. So yeah, far from ideal, I think it's fair to say. But that was Red Men Weekly for another week. Thanks for listening. I'll see you all again very soon. Take it easy.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.